Albert Einstein, one of the great scientists of the recent modern centuries, and also a firm believer in God, once said, "There are two ways to live your life. One is though nothing is a miracle, and the other is though everything is a miracle." Well, ponder what he is saying. We do believe in miracles, and we do know that our Lord performed miracles. A miracle is a phenomenon, an event, something that happens that defies causal explanation, natural kinds of circumstances, or even scientific explanation. A miracle is something that really reveals the power and majesty of God. So our Lord, as we've heard in the past few weeks of our gospel passages, has performed several miracles, like the raising of Jairus' daughter to life after death, to healing the woman who was bleeding, to calming the storm at sea. There are many other miracles that we know. And today we have the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. Jesus revealed himself through these miracles. He showed that he truly is God, second person of the Holy Trinity. He does the things that only God can do. Also, our Lord performed miracles to show how much God loves his people. In all of the miracle stories, a person is brought closer in faith to God, closer and deeper in a union of love with God. That's the key to understanding the miracle. And so, therefore, we look at this miracle, the multiplication of the loaves, a very important miracle. First, some background. In one sense, we have to remember the people were hungry. Now, Jesus sees that, but he knows that they aren't just physically hungry. Indeed, they were. He knows they're spiritually hungry. At that time, they lived in circumstances like we do. There was high taxation, high inflation, constant Roman oppression. The Jewish leadership, whether political or religious, was truly bankrupt. There were regular bouts of disease, drought, famine. These people were looking for God's love. And that's what Jesus wanted to satisfy. When he feeds them, yes, he feeds them with food, a miraculous multiplication of these loaves and fish, but most importantly, they know that they've received an abundance of God's love. As we prayed in the psalm, they truly could say, "The hand of the Lord has fed them." Secondly, though, we need to remember, as St. John indicates, that this is a Passover time. And so, for the Jewish people, Passover was the greatest miracle because God had intervened in their lives. 1,200 years, they were slaves in Egypt. God heard their cry. He remembered the covenant. He sent Moses. Moses performed all those different signs, and yet Pharaoh's heart was still hard. The final sign, the miracle, was the Passover. God told Moses, "Tell the people, take that one-year-old, unblemished male lamb and sacrifice it. Paint the doorposts and the lintel with the blood of the lamb, and the angel of death would pass over the homes protected by the blood, but take the life of the firstborn unprotected." Because of that blood sacrifice, the people were set free. Moses led them from slavery to the promised land, a land of freedom and new life. At Mount Sinai, God renewed the covenant, giving the people the Ten Commandments. Recall, too, as they journeyed to the promised land, God sent down manna, bread from heaven, to feed them. So this was the miracle, and the Jewish people lived like it was happening right now, that miracle, each Passover. Well, it all sets the stage, because my brothers and sisters, this miracle story, and in that light of Passover, our Lord is preparing them for the great miracle of his Last Supper, his sacrifice, resurrection, and ascension. Shortly from here, Jesus at the Last Supper truly offers bread and wine, but he says to his apostles, over that bread, this is my body. Over that chalice of wine, this is my blood. With the same efficacious words by which our Lord could raise a person like Lazarus from the dead, or multiply loaves and fishes, or change water into wine, or calm a storm, or heal a paralyzed man, with the same efficacious words, our Lord was miraculously, mysteriously, sharing with those apostles His body, blood, soul, and divinity in the gift of the Holy Eucharist. Consider, too, that the next day, Jesus went to the cross. So, in the eyes of faith, we see the miracle continue. For He, as priest, offered Himself on the altar of that cross. He is the priest and the victim, the Lamb, that new Passover Lamb. By His blood, we have been forgiven. By His blood, a new covenant has been made. By His blood, we've been redeemed from the slavery of sin. But unlike the Passover Lamb, Jesus rose on Easter Sunday. He rose from the dead. He's conquered death. And with the ascension, He has prepared a place for us in heaven, the true promised land. Well, my brothers and sisters, that is our greatest miracle, but it's a miracle that continues on in our life at this very Mass. So it's not simply a past event. It is something that lives on through the Holy Mass, a Mass that participates in the ever-living reality of our Lord's Last Supper, sacrifice, resurrection, and ascension. So at this Mass, we gather, and we gather with hungry hearts. All of us here in some ways would have to say, yes, our hearts are hungry, not just in that physical sense, but rather we're hungry. We're hungry for God's love. That's why we're here. Maybe we come here with burdens, but still we know God will feed us and feed us abundantly. Yes, we're fed by His truth and sacred Scripture, but then we come to the sacrifice. So the priest who acts in the person of Christ by virtue of holy orders offers the Mass. When the priest says over that unleavened bread, this is my body, it is Christ who is speaking. When he says over the chalice, this is my blood, it is Christ who is speaking. And we firmly believe, as Jesus has taught us, that that bread and wine truly do become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. Granted, the characteristics, what's technically called the accidents, don't change. So the color, shape, size, smell, taste, and so on. Those don't change. But the reality, the substance, that's what changes. Transubstantiation. So we believe and we know Christ is sharing with us miraculously His body, blood, soul, and divinity. What a great gift this is. What more could we ask for in life? When we come here and receive Holy Communion, and God willing, in a state of grace and with belief, true faith, then we know the hand of the Lord feeds us. Christ humbles Himself so that we can share in His divinity. And so, my brothers and sisters, a great gift. Let us not approach this gift, then, with the skepticism of a Philip who in the Gospel said, when Jesus asked, give them something to eat, he said, well, how can we possibly ever do that? We don't have enough, even with 200 days' wages. And let us not approach this with the defeatism of an Andrew who said, well, we have the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, but what good is that? No, let us approach this altar with great faith that the Lord comes to us to feed us with His love. He feeds us and gives us the strength that we need to face our day and day life. But at the same time, you and I have to remember, as St. Paul told us in our passage from Ephesians, we're therefore called to live a life worthy of our calling. We have to give of ourselves to our Lord. We make the offering of ourselves to Him. As Fulton Sheen once said, if we just came here to eat and gave nothing, we would be parasites. But instead, we come here to be fed and we give of ourselves. So we give of ourselves to our Lord and allow Him then to work through us. That's when life becomes miraculous. When we can look at life knowing that Christ is with us, He has fed us, He is going to be present to us in our day-to-day life. And with that, we'll be able to see His hand at work in our lives, no matter what the circumstances. Life becomes miraculous. So, my brothers and sisters, let us strive then and pray that our belief becomes stronger, more fervent, so that when we leave here, knowing our Lord has fed us, we can go out and make Him known and renew the face of this earth. May God bless you.